begin.
Mr. Chairman? Yes, sir.
Oh. Quickly sit on it if you don't sit on it.
Will you? I had my condition kept me out. And I guess I won't.
Well, I don't think that anyone can accuse us of not having tried at least to have been very thorough going over each of the points, because 9 points, which in fact, I knew it would be clumsy. He's always clumsy. To go over the first half of the 9 points, we got as far as six. We have 7, 8, and 9 left to go. And whereas 7, 8, and 9 are absolutely essential, they are semi-meaningless unless you've got the first six. And if you don't put the right forces into your computer and make the entries correctly, George, and all these other things are meaningless. If you find in entering numbers into your computer that you come out with numbers that are highly deviant from those you have seen in example races, you should say to yourself, not this damn program doesn't work, but you should say that these fingers have done some wandering along these keys that are inadvertently in error. I do that all the time, but if I see a number come out in some strange minus or some number that is highly unrecognizable from previous races, I know I made a bad entry, and rather than try to hit the computer and knock it up against the wall and get it to refunction, I just start all over again. It happens all the time to the best of us. There are many, many programs in the market that are far more user-friendly, and will come up with one readout that flashes and blinks and says, bet me, bet me, bet me. But
mine's real friendly, it's spokes.
Also says waiting on the winner.
But technically speaking, ours certainly stack up with most of them, or better in its capacity to get you winners. But the person who ultimately gets the winners has got to be you. To give you an example of this, people were saying, well, that phase three is real difficult. Why don't you give us some program that's easy to use? So we gave people UltraScan, which is easy to use, and when the people first started using it and using just believing it, they did real well. Then the first time that some horse that ran 112 beat a horse that ran 109, they said, this can't be right. I know the horse won, but it can't be right. There's something wrong. That horse can't have won. And then they start manipulating with UltraScan and worrying about it. That's where the problems lay. The difference between UltraScan and Phase 3 is that UltraScan makes for you a meridian variant. It adjusts all horses to a meridian energy figure, either one that's already built into the computer or one that you make, and they're all adjusted to it. About an hour and a half or 2 hours from now, at the end of the variant session, you will find that all different ways to make a variant will add up to a meridian variant. You will go through hours of work, and you'll have the wonderful knowledge that you made that variant yourself, but when you take the horses and put them through UltraScan, you'll find that you will have gotten exactly the same horses that you'll get by undertaking this variant exercise. Therefore, you say, why do you go through it? We go through it for you, because you are a stubborn lot. And I'm not referring to you personally necessarily, but handicappers are stubborn. Handicappers feel unless they made that variant, that it can't be worth a darn. Therefore, we will go through the exercise of making a variant, and in hopes that that will show you how any meridian variant will get you precisely the same horse as the other variant you may have used. Then you probably understand, once having understand how it's done, what happens and why it happens, you will then trust your figures more. The difference between a big winner and a kind of a tepid winner or a timid winner is that the big winner knows precisely why he's winning. The other one is saying, well, it's very tenuous. I don't know why I'm winning, but I'm scared that it's going to go away. The beauty of doing it yourself is you know how it's being done, therefore you have more confidence in it. 80% of winning is confidence in what you're doing and not in what the numbers themselves. The nice thing about elderly people who just want to make $45, $50 to $105 a day is they don't give a doggone, most of them, how they got the numbers. Like Glenn Swanson, oh, I got no idea to do with the numbers. They all want to make the money and go. But younger guys came along and they wanted to know precisely. They wanted to know what the algorithm was. They'll get on the phone with me and they want to know what line 486 where it says so-and-so. What does that mean? Well, now I've got to either tell them forget it or go out and dig out the listings and get through with it. That's the nature of man. Some of us want to know precisely how everything is arrived at, and some of us are just content to take the results. But it's always the opposite of what people initially say. When people initially said to me, give us something simple, and we gave them something simple, those are the people who want to make it complex. So you're not going to please everybody all the time. So we will give you the complex way that it happens. Before we do that, and Michael Bozzola will head that session, are there any leftover questions that we can field right now that are germane to the subject which you don't feel have been covered? That's amazing. Either you're worn out. Yeah, good. I haven't heard from you since last night. Where you been?
I want to hear Irish or. I want to hear what he knows about Irish war. This horse was a big winner and then a big loser.
Yeah, that's about what I know about it.
Yeah, exactly.
One of those. Yeah, what else to say? Never lived up to his patience. I know, I bet on that horse twice. Well, I was worse in the race, but I bet won both times, so I will tell you. But he disappointed me.
I think Jimmy Bradshaw and I have one advantage over, or maybe it's a disadvantage, I don't know, we think it's an advantage. If you asked us the name Irish Ore, we wouldn't know what you were talking about.
The mining and dumping.
We never. Do you remember any of the names of any of the horses you ever bet on, Jimmy?
No. Hair.
I remember Swale in the Belmont because
he died right after.
He died. I remember that. I remember Native Diver back in the '50s. And Man of War.
You're doing well. Your age, yeah.
I can't remember any horses. Tanks Prospect. I remember that. They're all dead, aren't they? All the horses I remember are dead. They're like my old girlfriend.
Money adversary.
Oh, really? How about
Well, dead, but Oscar's claimed it.
How about Patch, Patch, Patch? Probably, once you have got yourself past the computer entries, once you've got it down to five, now you're looking at to see what further might have to be done to put those five in an order of 1, 2, 3, in which they will most likely finish. And the first thing you always have to consider is, should I take them raw? What horses need adjustments? You know absolutely that sprints to routes need adjustments and vice versa. And you know that certain tracks, when they're running at a 32 daily variant, they certainly have to be adjusted. If others are coming off an 8 daily variant, in some manner they should have an adjustment. And you know that there should be turf to route adjustments to weigh the energy of one or the other. What I hope we have convinced you of is that you do not use the final time adjusted by a tick here or a tick there, a variant situation, to adjust horses with this methodology. It is a energy methodology, therefore you adjust with total energy. Those are the ground rules. You have to use the adjustment concept that is indigenous to the methodology for the adjustments to affect the methodology positively. And Michael Bozzola has been through the adjustment thing from the very start, knows when it can be overdone, when it can be not done, and when it can be underdone. Probably contemporary as well as anybody, beside which he's so pretty, we're going to have him the moderator. And he's wearing his suspenders not because he's too late to put on a coat, but because it presents the image. At least the holster's off.
The flag. Variance, you can't use the methodology. And it's, you know, it's good news and it's bad news, because it's variance is the subject with which people have the most problem when they look at it, because it seems to be such a complex subject. Now what we're going to do is go through however long it takes with you and the panel, so that you come out with a complete understanding of the variant. At the end of this, the understanding that I would like you to have, and truly understanding, not just hearing these words, is that a variant is a variant is a variant. Variants have the same functions. They're handled slightly different, but they'll have the same function. It's ironic for me to be talking, to be moderating the variant. Howard, I think, does this on purpose, because he knows that for years I was a consummate tinkerer with variants, trying to make them better, trying to improve them, asking all the different questions, should I put wind in, should all this kind of ridiculous stuff. Now I use UltraScan, and my variant is, you know, I do it with my index finger, and I said, you know, yes and yes, and just let the computer do it. But it's very, very valuable to know exactly how it's done, so that, and it's even good practice once in a while, do a race with a hand calculator, making all the variants and everything you need by hand, just so you remember the roots of the methodology, so where it comes from. So with that in mind, if you turn to page 76 of your workbooks, we'll start. And I really meant that if you can't handle variants correctly, shouldn't you, and have a really thorough knowledge, it's perhaps the most critical area of the methodology once you get past pace lines. There are three main categories of variance which we're going to talk about, and they are distance variance, surface variance, and class variance. So let's talk about distance variance for a moment. Now, first of all, there are a number of...
Move over to...
There are a number of formulae which have been used for variance. Any of these will be just fine as long as you use them consistently. Okay. The formula we were talking about this afternoon is the energy adjustment, which is second call plus third fraction divided by 2. That's one variant. Please remember that all of these variants, all of these adjustments, are going to be made from the pace of the race. From the pace of the race, except for turf races. We'll talk about that in a moment when we talk about distance, surface variance. But just for now, remember that you're going to be dealing in all of these, making all of these variants from pace of the race. So this is the first formula. And then... This variant number that you're going to make is from the pace of the race. The second call of the race, the third fraction of the race, divided by 2.
On the same, this is the, that's the same general formula you were using this afternoon for wind energy.
Yes, it is, but we were using the pace of the horse.
Right, that's the point I'm making.
Wind energy is the pace of the horse. Patient energy is the variant energy.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
This is not for variance and not for wind energy.
Right. This isn't, we're talking about for variance now. Right. This is the same formula.
Right.
Now, in the power gen form, and this is, by the way, this is okay for phase three. It'll work if you use it consistently. The so-called power gen formula that we have now, the formula called power gen, it includes true speed in it. So what it does is it takes this number and it adds true speed in, and then it divides that by 2. Now, while this energy number is fine for phase 3, if you're going to use a variant number, make adjustments manually with UltraScan, you must use this PARGEN number, this number which includes true speed. It is not as effective to use just this energy number. Okay? Now, as Bob Verdi reminded me to remember, what Tom, I think, was it Tom Brohammer who started doing this, Bob, found that making variance from average pace, that's the average pace of the race, was a very effective method. Factor W.
They're interchangeable. Average pace and factor W are one and the same. Don't right. get them confused.
This is
the H sort for factor W is adjusted in average pace.
There's a slight difference in how average pace is calculated and how factor W is calculated. It does it for the purpose of using this, though. If you're going to use factor W, use that consistently all the way through. Now, okay, what's the first kind of adjustment that comes to mind? It's the obvious one, the one we have to deal with in almost every race, and that's distance adjustments, distance variance. Well, how do you go about making that? If you'll turn to, let's take the Belmont numbers that we have. Turn to page 79, please. Now that you've done that, please turn to page 81. I want to make sure you don't have the post-dinner sleepies. You're on your toes. All right. Let's say we wanted to know what the difference in Belmont 8.5 furlong races were and Belmont 9 furlong races are. This is the example that's in here, but it'll serve its purpose. Notice in the first printout it says Belmont 8.5 par, and what is printed out are the fractional velocities for pace of the race and pace of the horse. There's an X next to that last number, which is 5446. Okay. That is basically, Howard, correct me if I'm wrong, that's basically the same as using an average pace variant.
I'm able to use this to demonstrate it by that program. It's
right.
Total energy, any way you look at it.
Right. So that's your total energy number for that pace of that race. Now, obviously, in most cases, you don't want to use just one race if you're making your own variants. So what you do is take your most common route distance, which New York tracks is 1.16 miles, and you take a number of these, and you take their average energy, and you add them up, and you divide them. You get an average for that. So let's say we've done that, and this is our average, is 54.46. So what we are saying is that day in and day out, our 1.16 mile races run pace of the race energy of 54.46 feet per second. Now, we do the same thing with the 9 furlong average of a number of races, and we find that the average of that is 54.29 feet per second day in and day out. The adjustment that we would use in our programs would be the difference between that 54.46 and 54.29, which is 0.17. Therefore, if you had a 9 furlong race, you would add 0.17 in your open adjustment. And in the 8.5 furlong race, you would subtract 0.17 if this were a 1.8 mile race today. Now, the much more common and the much more, the larger number of variant, you'll use between sprint and route, so that you would go and average up all of your 6 furlong variant numbers, and you get an average for that. And let's say the average for that, just to pick a number out of the air, is 56.46. Well, if that's 56.46 and today's race is an 8.5 furlong, your difference would be 2 feet per second. So if you had a 6 furlong pace line, you would subtract 2 feet per second in your open adjustment. Now, what we used to do is put open adjustment and third fraction adjustment in, and the program still will provide an option for that. What we have found over time, though, is that it works best if you just keep the differences between the distances in the variant numbers and put that entire amount in the open adjustment. There's one exception to that. It doesn't really apply here on the East Coast if you're playing the major tracks. But for those of you who play bull rings, who play tracks which are less than a mile in circumference, the difference in third fractions from one distance to another is quite great, because you'll have sprints which go around two turns. So you need to be do adjustments to the third fraction there. But by and large, all of these adjustments will go the open adjustment. Now, there's a question back there.
Yeah, well, total energy,
you can use any of three. You can use energy, or if you're using UltraScan, you can use energy plus true speed divided by 2, or if you're using the Californian method, the one that Tom Brohammer has pioneered, you use average pace, factor W.
In your case, using H sort, or use average pace, or factor W.
If you don't have a computer and try to do this with a calculator, where would you add this on to the final fraction?
Oh, that's a very good question.
Yeah.
If you had I don't know if we do an example, you would add it on to all three fractions. You would add whatever that open adjustment is to all three fractions. So that, well, if this were a route, you had a first fraction of 54.3 and a second fraction of 52.6 and a third fraction of 50.75, and you knew there were 2 feet per second difference, you would just make this 56.3, 54.6, and 52.75, and these are the numbers which you would use to compare this to a sprinter. Now, it'll be the same when you calculate it, you put the same thing on the second call. You'd use that. And when these are averaged up and divided, that'll be your open adjustment. You'll come to the same open adjustment.
Yeah, but when we really hit our resort,
you must have lost a lot of money in that
place.
Wait, I didn't hear the first part of your question.
Irish Ore.
Are we still on are you kidding me? Are we still on Irish Ore?
No,
perhaps
I've lost that.
Bushville.
No. You have a question about variance?
Yeah, perhaps I've lost that. Okay.
Bushville drop. Yes.
What's the basic? Is that overall? Basic is
second call. What Howard's demonstrating here, it doesn't matter much which of these formulae you use as long as you use them consistently.
I play a bull ring. How would I go about making a third fraction adjustment?
Okay, that's a good question. There's an example right here in the manual. It's on page 90. Now, here is a question. The question was, I play a bull ring, how do I make a third fraction adjustment? A variance is a variance is a variance. You would take your total energy for your 6 furlong races, your 6.5 furlong races, your 7 furlong races, your 5.5 furlong races, have separate energy averages for each of those and find out what is the difference between them. So
It can very simply be said that if you find that the deviation in energy is greater in the third fraction than it is and is not covered by the total energy, then you'll have to make the difference up from the deviation in the third fraction, just as you do now. So what you do is to save a lot of people time who don't. We don't want to get them on that third fraction. If you get hung up on that, you're in trouble.
Right.
Just find out what the deviation is in the third fraction and add it into the third fraction.
From one distance to another. To
yeah.
Right, so in other words, if you find that the third fraction at 6.5 furlongs is constantly 51 feet per second, and at 5.5 furlongs it's constantly much, much faster than that, well, obviously if you have your 6.5 furlong race, you're going to have to make that third fraction adjustment to bring it up to that average.
In addition to the total one you're doing on the open, so you have the two.
That's correct.
Okay, I got it.
But that is only an exceptional situation with a bull ring. Most of you do not need that third fraction adjustment.
Okay.
Michael?
Yeah? Just to clarify, one thing that what you're saying implies is that the acceleration-deceleration numbers from phase three that you would always add on or subtract from just the third fraction are obsolete.
Yes.
That's correct.
No part in any handicapping.
That's correct. That is absolutely correct.
Let me explain why that is. I'll just explain it real briefly. Dr. Quirin came out with part-times, which were the only at that time. We had no facilities to get part-times from the all across the United States. We didn't have plants in every racing track. In his book, which we took as gospel, you will notice that these part times have the same second call time at 1 1/8, 1 1/16, 6, 6.5, what have you. I confronted him with that, saying it was not accurate, and he said, well, I just did that because William Morrow wanted a neat page. Well, our gods have played. We invited him here, he didn't make it, but William Morrow imposed it. We found out that the deviation did not occur in the third fraction between these distances, it occurred in total energy. So where it now says in the yellow manual, enter this 6 to 6.5, or 8 to 8.5, or 8 to 9 in the third fraction, you merely put it in open adjustment, except when going from a 5/8 mile to a mile or longer track. It does not hurt you to do it the way it was in the yellow manual. A lot of people sitting here doing it the old way are making money, but you make a little more by putting it into open. Because in open, it is also distributed 1/3 into the final fraction. That's why it was incorrect, because we took the hardbound book and believed it.
Excuse me, Mike. Except for the guys that I've talked to here and have explained them individually how to use the variant with phase three, you don't even have a question for a third fraction adjustment. Am I correct?
Yes.
You never asked a question. The reason for that is because of the change in the formula. I've explained it to you. So when these guys are talking about a third fraction adjustment, you just ignore it. It's already been compensated for in the way I've told you to do it. Understand?
Same thing for most of the little handhelds.
Right. So just ignore any reference to third fraction adjustment and do it the way I told you. It's already included the way I've told you.
Just some basic points about the formula. By true speed, you mean final time in feet per second? Like true speed?
Right. It's the total number of feet in the race divided by the final time.
Right, okay. And an average pace is that early pace plus the same pace divided by two?
Right. Or actually what's being used is factor W, which is early pace times sustained pace.
They're not using
time. Early pace
plus the sustained pace divided by two.
Right, okay. Now, in all cases, so by that I mean all distances, early pace is second call now?
Early pace is always second call now.
And sustained pace is always second call plus third fraction divided by two.
That's correct.
Versus sprint.
Right. And not the way it is in the yellow band.
Right, that is.
Now, the reason for the multiplier in factor W made it a much more predictive number for many people was not that it changed the ranking of the horses, but it gave a larger separation of numbers between horses. So people who thought that 0.03 was a tie, which it isn't, but who insisted that it was, now get 0.09 for every, what they used to get 0.03, and they don't see it as a tie. That's the only reason for that multiplier, was to help people, to help themselves to make a decision. But when you do that to make a variant, no good, because it makes the numbers too big and the variant would be too large. That's why it's back to early plus late divided by two.
Okay.
This is a slightly hyper-technical question, but it comes up all the time in New York, where you know.
Where we're all hyper-technical.
you're handicapping a sprint, and you like the early fractions. The pace line you're taking is the early fractions for a rack. The sprint you're handicapping is 7 furlongs. You know what I'm sure I'm going to get at. The adjustment, the way you adjust it, is for a 6-furlong race. What subsequent adjustment do you make so that once you've taken the internal fractions, you're equalizing them for a 7-furlong race?
You must know what the difference is between 6-furlong races and 7-furlong races.
That's what I'm asking. Assume I know that.
Assume you know that. Then, and let's say that, certainly at Belmont, it would be that the average pace of the average pace of the race of 7-furlong races is greater, is less than 6-furlong races. You would simply take that difference and subtract it in the open adjustment from that internal velocity. You treat that just like a 6-furlong race. Yeah. That's what's done. Now, for those of you who are novices with the method, would it be, in a show of hands, helpful if we went through and took a sprint and a route and showed you how we derive these numbers by even doing it by hand calculator? Okay, great. So especially for those of you who are brand new with the method, get out some kind of form of calculating device that adds, subtracts, multiplies, and divides. It's all it needs to do. And we'll take a couple of races. We'll take a 6-furlong race and an 8.5-furlong race. And does someone want to call out some fractions for a 6-furlong race?
26.
Okay, how about give me first fraction.
23.
46. 112. You don't have to do any tenths or anything? I'll make it 46.2. And an 8.5-furlong race, we'll say we have a 45.2, 110.4. Final time. So we're laughing about these finger legs players who are laughing. What? 141.3? Okay, these are for the Californians. What's that? The distance of the second race is 8.5 furlongs. Mile and 16th. Okay, let's say we're going to use the average pace method of getting this, of taking the variance. The first thing we need to do is find the second call velocity for the 6-furlong race. Now, here's a question, and I just want people who are novices with the method to answer this. What do we do about the beaten lengths in figuring out this variance? You want to venture an answer?
Subtract from the...
Okay, it's a trick question, and I'm sorry to do it. I just want to drive home a point. We don't use beaten lengths. We're only going to calculate this from the pace of the race. That is just the fractions which appear in the result chart or on the past performance line if you're working from that. We ignore completely beaten lengths for the purposes of this. So if you get your calculator, there are 2,640 feet in a half a mile, and if you divide that by 46.25, which is 4/10, 46.4, you get
14.
Not all at once, but like 56.90. Okay. The third fraction of this would be what? 72 seconds here minus 46.4 seconds. That's what?
25.
Sorry.
25.6.
Thank you, 25.6. You take the amount of feet in a third fraction, which is 1320, and divide that by 25.6, and you come up with 51.56. This is a wonderful exercise to do if you do it. If you do it along on your calculator, you haven't done it. Okay. This is your second call velocity. This is your third fraction velocity. if you add these up and divide it by 2, someone do that? 54.23. This is your early pace. This is your sustained pace. Now, if you now add these two together and divide that by 2, you will come up with your average pace or factor W number. Someone have that? 56.9 plus 54.23 divided by 2. Okay, 55.57.
What was that again?
Okay. 55.57. We got that by averaging second call velocity, which is early pace and sustained pace, which is our average. This is 101, guys. This is for all of you who are just beginning with the method, and also a refresher. It's the factor W, it's average pace. And we're assuming that we have done this for dozens of 6-furlong races, if we have them, and we have found out that 55.57 is the average of 6-furlong races. Bobby, you want to jump in here?
No, I just can't
see
the board.
Okay. Everyone clear on the way we got that number? Anyone not clear? Yeah.
I thought you got the number. I just want you to reiterate. Take a sample of races, just taking random 6-furlong races.
Yeah.
Are you not, you're not being sex specific? In other words, you're not just taking males only, or you're not being a 2-year-old, you're just taking early?
Just as they come up in the form, just lump them all in together. Throw out, by the way, the extremely high and the extremely low.
Not in advance.
No, not in advance. I can't hear the question.
Would that figure be the same in all scan? Would that be the same factor W?
No. No. You, if factor, in ultra scan, you must use sustained total energy plus true speed divided by 2. That's the par gen formula.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you could use wind energy all
day. Not in ultra scan.
Yes, you can. We can, but you know that. So.
I want you to know why he is.
But you don't have to ask him that after dinner.
I just, because Howard put this in this manual. That's the answer to that, and that's what he wants, you know, Todd General, that's what works best. Yeah, Dan?
Here you're averaging total energy and factor W, do I have that right?
Yes.
What?
No. I'm sorry, this is a simple average pace calculation. We're averaging early pace plus sustained pace to get average pace. Okay?
Which is 54.23.
54.23, no, this is the second call plus third fraction divided by 2, which is our sustained pace number. When we average that with early pace, we get the average pace, which is 55.57. Okay. Now, if we went through the same exercise with 8.5 furlongs, we would get a number for the average pace of the 8.5 furlong.
Might as well do it, Michael.
Okay, let's go ahead and do that. The second call velocity is 3960, which is the number of feet in 6 furlongs, which is what 110 and 4 represents. We would divide the 3960 by the number of seconds which 110 and 4 represents, at 70.8 seconds. Does anyone have that? 55.93, that's our second call velocity.
Second call, it is early pace.
That's early pace. The third fraction would be 101.6 seconds. Having trouble with Bob's calculator here. Of course, Bob is in Bob's calculator, not in my friend's. Minus 70.8 seconds. So the pace of that race for the third fraction there was, is anyone doing this along with me? 30.8 seconds.
Could you do that once more, please, Michael?
Sure thing. 141 and 3 is 101.6 seconds.
That's the final time.
That's the final time of the race. The time of the 6 furlong time is 1/10 and 4, which is 70.8 seconds. If you take the difference between those two, you get 30.8 seconds. Okay?
Now, it's 1,650 feet from the second call to the wire in an 8.5 furlong race.
Okay, 1,650. If you divide that by the amount of time, 30.8 seconds, you get 53.57. That's our third fraction. Now, would someone average, please, 55.93, which is the early pace, plus 53.57, which is third fraction?
Divided by
54.75.
That's sustained pace.
This is sustained pace. If we were to average early pace and sustained pace, so if we were to average our numbers 55.93 in this example, plus 54.75, we get 55.34.
That's average pace or factor W, whichever you prefer to call it.
This is a very strange racetrack, but we did it because we chose very, very fast fractions for the 8.5 furlong race and very slow fractions for the 6 furlong race. But let's go with it because we have it. We would say our number here is 55.34. Now that's a little ridiculous. That would never happen. But let's say it did. Let's say we're at a bizarre racetrack. It has no deceleration between those. But our average here would be 55.57. Our average here would be 55.34. The difference between these two numbers, assuming they are averages for these distances, is the adjustment you would use in going from your sprint to your route. In this case, it would only be 0.23. The difference between 55.57 and 55.34.
Don't expect that to ever really happen.
No, it will never really happen. The number is more going to be more like 2 feet per second at most racetracks around. We just pick arbitrary numbers for the exercise of going how you can do these by hand.
Yeah, they actually put that in open adjustment.
That's right. That all goes in the open adjustment. If you're handicapping today an 8.5 furlong race and you have a pace line from a 6 furlong race, and you know that your deceleration from your own numbers is 2 feet per second, in the open adjustment, you put minus 2, or whatever it is, minus 2.3, or minus 0.9, whatever your numbers show that it is.
Basically, what you're doing is you're adjusting the velocities, but not the energies.
That is the energy. That is an energy to any figure. Remember what we said yesterday, which we asked you to write down? Any figure that does not represent pure fractional times, any combination of those becomes, by our own definition, called energy. That's why it doesn't matter whether you use the variant formula that's in your computer now, or the one here, or this one, or the other one. What we're teaching you now is the principle. Once you've got the principle, the minute differentials of formula are secondary. They're just...
Yeah.
These pars that you generate, how long, you keep track profile to see how long they're...
This is the end of the tape.